make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And from John's Gospel in chapter 6, we read at verse 16. This incident follows Jesus' miraculous feeding of a large crowd with the meager supply of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading and hearing of his holy and powerful word.
Now let us pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to you that Christ walks with us on our journey of life. We thank you that his Spirit is given to us to understand your ways with us, to increase our faith and deepen our love for one another. So we pray that as we close with your word now, that you would speak to the depths of our being and enable us to see Jesus more clearly and to find within ourselves that commitment which longs to walk with him more closely in the life of faith. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, I'm sure we all know what it is to have to go through experiences in life which seem to test us on many different levels. It could be that we've had to pass through times of personal illness or the illness of someone who is very close to us. It's possible that it has fallen to us to look after someone who is disabled or frail, and much is demanded of us in time and energy and commitment. It could also be that we struggled long with a family problem which was difficult in the end to resolve. But as we look back on these experiences, these difficult experiences, it might occur to us to think that they were a bit like a journey, because we can remember when it all began. We can remember times which were pretty rough, and we can also remember the smooth times as well, when there was cause to give thanks, and we can also remember when it all came to an end. I'm quite sure that in the course of the lives of all Jesus' disciples, they can remember experiences like this. They can remember those kinds of journeys that they were called to undertake. And I'm pretty sure that whenever this did happen to them, that they would get a great deal of encouragement. They would find a great deal of strength in stories like the one that Ken read to us earlier in the service. The story of the disciples struggling in the dark on a rough sea and not knowing if they will come to the end of that journey until Jesus comes to them walking across the water. I wonder if you've ever asked why it is that certain miracles are chosen for us, have been preserved for us in the Gospels. John himself tells us in chapter 20 of his Gospel that he could have put in many more stories of miraculous things that Jesus did, but he has carefully chosen the ones that he did so that our faith in Jesus as the Son of God could be increased. But I think also, the miracles can function for all of us, not just as testimony to Jesus' power, but they can show us how Jesus is involved in various life situations. How Jesus can work with us whenever we have to pass through particular experiences. And if we have had to put our feet down on a difficult journey of life, then I don't think that there are many better stories than the one that we read earlier in the service. Perhaps you remember the background to this. We were dealing with it last week in the preaching, where Jesus has just fed a huge crowd of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And people are so impressed that they want to make Jesus their king. They're convinced that he is the warrior, soldier, Messiah that they've been longing for through many ages. But Jesus, knowing this and knowing that he's not that kind of Messiah, takes to the hills. He gets right out the road in case the people proclaim him to be their king by force. But when Jesus is up in the mountain, his disciples for some reason leave him. And they take off across the lake. And they run into trouble. And it's then that they have this extraordinary experience of the Lord coming towards them in the darkness across the waves, and when they themselves will be feeling deeply frightened. And when I read that story, of course, I'm awed in the presence of such power. But I'm also greatly comforted to know that Jesus can come to me in the times of darkness. He can come to me in the midst of the storms of life. He can come to me when I may be driven to my knees with exhaustion. And that's why there are 3 details in this story that are so important when we read it together. Because John makes it quite clear that when this incident happened, it was dark. He says that when the disciples got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum, it was dark. And it's noticeable when you read John's Gospel that quite often John will take the darkness, he'll take the night as being symbolic of something else that was going on in the story. For John, the darkness, the night, is where negative experiences fall to us. The darkness, the night, is where bad things happen. So it's no coincidence that when the disciples take off in this journey, it's dark. There's a film which is attracting quite a bit of attention just now called Sunshine. Science fiction film. It's set years into the future when the sun is burning out. It's not giving off its normal energy. And so a spacecraft is sent towards the sun with a nuclear device on board which they're going to fire into the depths of the sun to reignite it and restore it to its former strength. And there's one character on board the spacecraft who's really quite obsessed with looking into the sun. He loves it so much. And at one point, he compares the sun to the darkness. The darkness where he says there is a vacuum, an emptiness. An emptiness with nothing to give. And that's where the disciples are finding themselves that night on the lake. They're in the midst of an emptiness where they are receiving nothing. And surely that is a spiritual experience too, which they're going through at that time. And it's a spiritual experience that many of us have to go through too. I've spoken to many folk across the years who assure me, and of course I believe them, that their faith is strong, and God willing it always will be, but they just wish that from time to time, especially when they're going through difficult experiences, they just wish that they could feel the presence of God more in the midst of darkness. I believe that when the disciples felt that way, and they did in the early days of the church's history, I believe that whenever the disciples felt that way, they would say to one another, "Do you remember that night when it was pitch black? And Jesus came to us over the waves." We need to focus on stories like this, friends. We have to allow them by the grace of God to take root in our souls. To remind ourselves that He is here. Even in the midst of the deepest darkness, we can be sure of the presence of our Lord. I'm sure you're familiar with the passage from Psalm 139 that we read, which says, "Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, O Lord. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." The message there is that there is no darkness for the believer, because Jesus is always there. He's always there to bring us His light. That character in the film, again, when he was comparing the light to the darkness, he said that the difference between light and darkness is that the light is given to you. You receive it. It becomes part of you. Jesus is our light. And when we receive Him, the darkness is not dark. So remember, friends, in the story, it was dark. And remember also that the waters were rough. We're told in verse 18 of the passage that a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. Strong wind and rough waters. I wonder if you've ever felt that the whole world was against you. That everything seemed to be going against you and preventing you making any kind of headway at all in your life. I remember once visiting a lady in my first parish whose daughter's wedding arrangements had collapsed, and this lady was distraught. Not just because of the wedding. It was just because she felt that everything that she had ever looked forward to in life had collapsed. Nothing ever went right for her. It was always bad news. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. When Jesus' disciples felt that way, and they did, I can imagine them saying to one another, do you remember that night on the lake when it was dark and we were going nowhere fast? And Jesus came to us over the waters. And after the initial fear that they experienced, they took Jesus in, they took him on board, and after that the journey seemed to be miraculously smoother. They were able to get to the shore. People tell me that whenever I'm asked, how are you? I have two stock responses. It happened this morning actually when the session clerk asked, how are you? And I said, well, fairly miserable. But there's another one that I say, it's probably a bit more optimistic. I say, well, we're getting there. We're getting there. And what I want to say to you this morning, friends, is that with our Lord Jesus Christ on board and in our lives, we're always getting there. Despite whatever mess might have been created around us and whatever mess we ourselves might have contributed to, with Jesus on board, we'll get there. I read an interview with an author who was talking about her study, and she described it as always in a state of purposeful disorder. That is a good description for all our lives if we're travelling with Jesus. Because whatever the mess, whatever the disorder that is all around us and within us, God is always working out his purpose for our lives. We're getting there through many dangers, toils, and snares. Grace has led us safe thus far. And grace will lead us home to the shore where the darkness and the waves and the wind are behind us. It was dark, and the waters were rough, and the rowing was hard for the men in the boat. We're told that they rowed 3 or 3.5 miles before they saw Jesus approaching the boat and walking in the water. Now that's hard going, I suppose. I've never rowed that length of time, but why would John tell us that they had rowed that length, that distance? Why would he tell us that unless it was to underline the fact that these men were probably exhausted? They were probably spent. And then Jesus comes to them over the waters, and that didn't do them any good at first, did it? They were terrified to see this figure coming at them through the darkness. Of course they were. But then Jesus spoke the words. He said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid." How often did Jesus say that to people? And that made the difference. It was then that they took Jesus on board the boat. It was then that they seemed to find a renewal within themselves. They had the presence of Jesus. The word of Jesus had spoken to them. And they were able to press on to the shore. Do you remember a few weeks ago when the children were studying Elijah in the Sunday club, and we spoke about that time when Elijah was totally exhausted in the work. He felt he had given everything in order to bring the word of God to the people of Israel. They were rejecting him, and he had no more heart for the work, and he just lay down and wanted to die. But God came to him. God spoke a word to that man's soul and said that there was still work to do. There was work for Elijah to do. And the strength that was required was provided. And I can imagine that when Jesus' disciples felt the way that Elijah did, and they did feel that way, they would say to one another, "Do you remember that night on the lake when it was dark, when the wind was howling, when the waves were rough, and Jesus came over the waters and he spoke to us, and in some incredible way we found the strength to row to the shore?" Friends, there is strength in Jesus. There is strength in his word. And we can experience this today at the Lord's table. And it's my prayer for every one of you that you will experience this. The presence of Jesus here today is real. The word of God here today is real. Listen to that word. Take Jesus on board in your life. And you will feel the revival of your faith. You will experience the renewal of your strength for the work that lies ahead. Let us pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would draw near to us to impress your word on our minds and our hearts. Enable us now to come to your table hungry for the reality of God and his word, that we might be closer to you, that we might reflect your being in our lives, that we might be faithful in every task that falls to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.